Welcome episode 100 of the China FlexFat podcast. In this episode, we want to share with you a success FlexFat story which I was involved in. I am Cloris. I'm an international headhunter working for Michael Page Suzhou. I'm recruiting senior talents for China market over a decade. Today, I'm going to introduce you a recent talent which I just placed and help facilitating in his career transformation. Simon, talking about making successful FlexFat career in China. Simon has two essential traits that makes the path happen: being open-minded and constant proactiveness. In year 2021, while I was first invited and joined the community, Simon was one of the first who took the initiative to approach me and schedule a career consulting meeting. It was his third year working in China, and he is in the middle of a large project in a fully Chinese capital-owned conglomerate. A young man with legit business acumen and marketing by then. It took us not only 1.5 hours talking through his career and advise how to strategically highlight his own profile. Yet, it took us another 8 months waiting for the right and suitable opportunity to come up. In July 2022, he successfully makes a career move that has a great leap riding the current industry trend. His story includes a cross-border process back to China from Europe. Your career can progress the right direction if you're humble enough to evolve and take the strategic move and initiative at the right timing. Let's welcome Simon to talk about his own FlexFat story.
Hi everyone, my name is Simon. I'm 27 years old, originally from Germany, and since 4 years now happily working and living in China and well immersed in the Chinese culture, mostly because China is such a land of big opportunities, both professionally and privately, that I really think that now is the right time to be here and to develop yourself as a person and your career as well. I believe I'm a FlexFat because normally people come or have their first endeavor going to China for an international company sending them to China. But for me, it was after graduating from my master's, I basically actively looked for a local Chinese company to work for. And then since then, I've been growing in that company and just recently made the switch to an Italian company in Nanjing.
So how did you start your career in China? And what were your biggest challenges and achievements?
That also brings along basically the biggest challenge. And I was like, how do you start, or how do you find a job without network and without any previous experiences for big companies that you can leverage on? So it really depends later on to find the right people that are willing to give you a chance. And then, of course, starting in a Chinese company as one of the few foreigners. Beginningly, we were only two. Out of 10,000 people is a big challenge, but I think we achieved a lot in these years, taking this Chinese company from zero foreign opportunities to now having their own factory in Hungary and running smoothly there.
But let's go back a little bit. So why did you come to China in the first place, so young?
Because I was always going abroad. So starting when I was 17, I spent the first 6 months in Samoa as a volunteer worker. And during my cooperative studies in Germany, I also went 6 months to China, 6 months to Africa, and then I went back to Germany. And China actually was more of a rebellious act, I would say, because Böhringer, my previous company in Germany, was sending all students to either European countries or to the US. And I said, okay, if everybody is doing that, I don't want to do that. So I want to be someone completely different. Then my manager told me, okay, you have to organize it yourself then. And the first foreign colleague that I came in contact with was basically a Chinese purchaser back then. So it was not that I actively looked for China, but at that time it was the only chance for me to go somewhere where no one else has been. And that's how I came to China. And then after spending 6 months in China on this rotating program, I always wanted to come back after graduating.
And then when you started this job in China, you were asked to build a plant in Hungary for your Chinese company. Can you explain a bit more about this and what did you learn in the process?
That was more of a coincidence that I started building up the factory. So I was working in the strategy department for the mother company. And then the local subsidiary is very, very domestic, focusing on automotive parts. And they planned a trip to Europe to check for potential sites for the factory. And basically no one there spoke English. So I was basically sent there as a translator to check that everybody understands the right topics. And then during the course of visiting the sites, it crystalled out that basically I could be a suitable project manager for this project. So I kind of like slipped into this project, and that was my chance to basically develop my career in China.
You finally decided to change sites and join an international technology leader. Why did you do this?
Yeah, working for a Chinese company as the only foreigner is very, very challenging. And after 3 years working for them and finishing my part of the project for the Hungarian factory, so I handed it over to the local management, I was basically looking how to further my career. And unfortunately, in Chinese local companies, they do tend to prefer, for the very senior management roles, they prefer Chinese people. So for me, the only logical solution was to look for outside opportunities. And in that case, it happened to be a coincidence that it ended up to be a Italian company and not a Chinese company. But it was not an active switch from I want to go away from a Chinese company, but more like, okay, where can I develop further? Where is the next interesting project?
But how did you find this opportunity? And how did the FlexPad community help you to change jobs?
That was actually quite funny. So the previous person that hold the role is also a FlexPad, and he hired a FlexPad headhunter to look for the next FlexPad to find his replacement. And that's how basically the WeChat group of the FlexPad community connected all of us together. And that's how I landed my job, which in the end was quite funny. In the interview, when we looked at each other, I was like, okay, we all know each other.
Yeah, I see. So three FlexPads who know each other casually, they do business together and then it makes it official. I think it's really a great story.
Yeah, and then in the course of my onboarding process, I also got to know some customers, and turns out that they are also part of the FlexPad community.
Yes, actually, my company, Julie Automation, we are a customer of MAPOS, and MAPOS is doing fantastic technology. And for a Chinese company like Julie Automation, it's a big step to source international technology. But we did this because it was a really, really good technology. So I think you made a great choice. You chose a really fantastic company.
MAPOS is doing quality equipment for testing, inspecting, and measuring. And I think there the European companies still have an edge over the Chinese companies, because Chinese companies are very good when it comes to developing a product very fast, efficient, and cost-effective. But when it comes to quality inspections, you want to make sure that you really have control of every part of your production process. And that's where I think the European companies can still help a lot.
Yes, I agree. But what do you see in the future of Made in China 2025? Do you think this will change?
It will, definitely, because, I mean, MAPOS is also an interesting company. And also in the automotive industry itself, it's changing from combustion engines to battery engine. So basically, with the whole battery revolution now, I think the competencies that used to be very, very at the European core, cars, combustion engines, etc., are now more in the Chinese supply chain. So for batteries, you can see the market share is going from CATL, EVE, all the big battery companies are Chinese. So they're also looking to develop their own Chinese supply chain, not relying on European technology.
Now, you're a foreigner, a FlexPad, in your Italian company, and you represent the foreign part of this company in China. What's the setup of your team, and how do you want to develop your team to be more international?
MAPOS has been in China for such a long time. The international spirit is already well integrated. But I think you have to understand as a FlexPad where are your limitations and where can you provide the benefit. Of course, if you're talking to Chinese customers, my benefit in comparison to my Chinese team is not very direct. But my job as the foreign manager is basically to enable them to talk to Chinese customers and convince them about the European solution and move them away from the please tell me what to do towards the boss, I came up with this idea and I want to integrate this into the company. So if I enable my people to work independently, then I did a good job as a manager. And I think many Chinese are still struggling with that, and that's where we can provide a lot of benefit, helping them transition from this closed mindset versus a more open, problem-oriented mindset or solution-oriented.
But Simon, I have known you for maybe 18 months, something like this, and you are like a consultant, so you can build content from the scratch and make it really compelling. So this is much different from what you describe of the Chinese way of working, of listening to the boss. So how can you leverage your last job in regards of strategy and execution? How can you use this experience to really help your team to be like you in some regards? How do you plan to do this?
I mean, the sales strategy sometimes is, in China, is still very guanxi oriented. I know someone, I will sell it there, and where can I see my profit? And our team is more focusing on business development. So the you call me a consultant, which is you know, we use tools to analyze markets and to understand the market better. And I think this is something that definitely needs to be done, like mapping out the Chinese market and how we can attack it, even without relying too much on guanxi. Because sometimes it's very hard to quantify the market and to see the clear opportunities and who is developing. So to have a standard framework on how to analyze the market and to see who is playing where, I think that would definitely be helpful.
Yes, I am actually using the same approach. So in our technology world, usually it's the case that our customers, they are developing a new product, and then they will buy a machine in order to build this product. The German way is to cooperate early in the process, so that once they really need the machine, then they trust me, they trust our company. So we, as Julia Automation, we have also changed so much in order to provide prototyping services and to provide more real consulting services to show the Chinese customers that they can develop a product in China. And I think this requires lots of testing services, and there your product experts, as testing experts, they really come in.
Sure, I mean, for our quality equipment, we focus on both laboratory environment and the production environment. So we're really, from the start, our technology helps choosing the right materials. For example, if you're in the stator production, you want to check which wire material I want to use for the winding, etc. Is this insulation material correct? So we can help you from developing your product, choosing the right raw materials, checking if it's working, based up to fully automating your assembly line together with the quality checks. And I think Marcus and Julie are working closely together, because especially in the automatic assembly lines, I think you have the Chinese Julie version, and then you integrate the Marcus quality equipment. I think that's a very good way. But also I want to add that sometimes the role as a flexpet is not just focusing on how to help the Chinese think more international, but also to understand your Chinese colleagues that probably know the market much better than you, and then help them to raise their voice towards the headquarter. I mean, it's kind of changing now, from switching from a Chinese company to an Italian company. Before, I had to try to make the Chinese understand the European way, which you're doing in Julie. But now at Marpus, I think it's also important to make the Italian headquarters and the other colleagues understand that probably in China, the domestic market needs a very tailor-made approach, which sometimes can also only come from the Chinese colleagues.
How do the Italians react to this? And I know you have to be politely correct now, but I just want to get some idea from you.
Well, it's hard to answer that question for Marcus, I would say, because I'm only on board for a few weeks now. In general, my observation is that, of course, if you're used to do something a certain way for a long time, it's very hard to change. And also, unfortunately, I would say, especially in Germany, we still have this mindset that we are better at German engineering, and this is the proper way to do it. And then sometimes you can feel that losing control of the process is something many people are struggling with in European or American headquarters, and giving and enabling Chinese to do more.
I want to switch a little bit. So if you look back on these years in China, what are you really thankful for? And which skills that you learned in China are most important to you now?
I came to China when I was 23 and started working for a Chinese company. So I think China has been the most defining stage of my life. Do you know any 24-year-old that can build up a 150 million euro factory in Hungary all by himself? I didn't have a team or anything, and no one in my company could help me do that. So you really start from scratch and you basically learn on the job. And these kind of opportunities, I believe, you do not get in Germany, because in Germany you have your 30 years experience manager, and he will do that, and you probably will only support him, whereas in Chinese companies you can take fully charge of these projects. And of course, the learning curve in such a project is amazing. And then on the other side, of course, privately, it's super nice. Like, you develop so much confidence working for a Chinese company, because every day is a new challenge, and you don't get into this daily loop of the same activities, because you never know what's going to happen that day, because there's not so much structure. So you develop this kind of flexible mindset, and I like the flex, but basically, you know, it's like you avoid to fall into the traps of doing the same thing all over again. And you really are forced to be open-minded and to constantly adjust. And I think this is, especially if you do it in your early years, I think it really benefits you for your future life, both privately and professionally. And also, I have to say that most of the true flexpats that I've met that are in the older age group, they tend to be much, much younger in their way of thinking, in their way of behaving, just because they are constantly forced to change, etc. So I think the overall experience is amazing.
I can see yourself in 10 years and how you will change. But how do you see yourself? What do you think is going to happen in the next 10 years in your career?
Comparing you and me is a little bit different, I would say, because you are the China flexpat, and I don't think you will leave China in the next 10 years. For me, I consider flexpat not really bound to China, so I can see myself in any country. Although I do have to say, I would really resent to go back to Europe, because I've gotten so used to the Asian lifestyle that I really want to stay as much as possible in this amazing region. You never know what's going to happen in the next year, in the 2 years, so planning 10 years ahead is basically impossible in this side of the world. But I would like to see another country growing up. I mean, now with the recent political developments and also the COVID situation, you can see that also a lot of new investments are forced into Southeast Asian region like Vietnam, Thailand, etc. And I think sometimes Thailand and Vietnam, they remind me of China 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So I hope I get the chance to build and develop something in a country like this as well.
But if you see this, your career development of the past, and also the way you can move up and you can use your experience to train others. So what are you afraid of? What could go wrong? And how do you cope with your fears?
Fear is, maybe it's a bit of a tough word, but I would say, especially professionally as a flexpat in a role like ours, we are not built up in a step-by-step way. So in Germany, you go from consultant, senior consultant, manager, and you grow in your responsibilities, versus in China, you're basically always stretched. I mean, it started with a project in Hungary, and I was like, of course, the fear of failure was always there. And then once you sign your first multi-million dollar contract, you have a lot of sleepless nights, I can guarantee you that one. Because you're always being stretched to your max, and you're always out of your comfort zone, which then becomes your new comfort zone, hopefully, at one point. Basically, the fear is always there that you might fail at what you do and that you're just there because you're foreign looking. I mean, this kind of mindset sometimes still comes up. But I think if you continue to work hard and you see the progress in your team and in your company, I think these fears can be quite normal. On the other side, I would say nowadays also a lot of personal fears are coming into play, especially with the travel restrictions. Like, flexpat life is not easy if you've been locked into China for 3-4 years, or you go back to Europe and then you cannot come back. I mean, it happened to me as well that I went to Hungary for a business trip and I couldn't come back for 8 months. And then not having this kind of safety net of a European company behind you sometimes can also feel lead to fears of, what if I go back and I get stuck and then the Chinese company might fire me? So these are always fears in the back. But I would say they come in waves and then they go away. And I think it's very, very normal.
What I see is that now flexpats who are leaving China are those who are safe. You know, they are safe. They have a good job. They have a good salary. They have a good company. And they are leaving because it's not comfortable. And those who are not safe, like you and me, you just signed a new contract in your probation period. And I work for a Chinese company. My contract runs out end of this year. So we are not safe. Anything can happen. But we are taking the risk. And this is what I want to also promote with the podcast, to say there are always fears, there are always problems. But if you work hard and if you take risks, then usually the career will also give new opportunities.
I mean, adding to that, and I was like, yes, there is a risk and many are leaving. But automatically that means, or consequently, that means that if a lot of people are leaving, there is a lot of new opportunities. And for example, just like in the last 2 months, I've got contacted by maybe 4 or 5 headhunters because they are running out of foreigners in China and looking really to replace the people that are leaving with foreigners that know China very well and that the companies can be sure will not leave within the next 6 months. So I really believe there's always a balance, and it's the same in the stock market. The more risk you take, the more opportunity you can get. And I think for us it's the same. The risk we take can lead to us losing our job and having to start completely from zero again back in Europe. On the other side, it can also lead to an incredibly rewarding experience.
Who should listen to this podcast episode? And what's your message?
The exposure of everybody to Chinese companies will be much more in the future. So even if you're not going to live in China, but you want to make the most of your opportunities in Europe nowadays, eventually you will end up facing a Chinese company. And then learning from people like us that have been working with Chinese companies, living in China, learning about how we are dealing with these situations can really give you an edge when, you know, potentially you're starting to work for one of the battery companies, the Chinese ones in Germany.
Simon, we are on an automotive EV event today. And we are, at least I'm a little bit nervous because I'm going to have a keynote this afternoon and your team will also have a keynote. So what are you doing to make sure that this event will be a success?
Your university, I don't really understand, because you're always doing a good job in those speeches. And of course you do the speeches in Chinese. For my team, I let my Chinese product manager, Jackie, make the speech, because I think it gives them the right platform and conveys the right message of we are a foreign company, but we are also a Chinese company. So because you're working for a Chinese company, making your speech in Chinese is very good to showcase that you're international. For us, I think it makes sense to push the Chinese in front, just to make sure that people understand, we are Italian, but we speak your language. You're a Chinese customer, you call us, we're Chinese engineers, we have your Chinese after-sales service. And I think if we can convey this message, then it will be already a great success.
Yes, and so if in case anyone from Marpos is listening, I just want to say that Simon is a great choice for this job. Okay, so I'm really happy that you made this decision, and I hope that Julia Automation and Marpos can continue to work together.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Francis, and also good luck for your speech. And maybe if it's really the 100th episode, maybe we should open a bottle of champagne at the dinner later.
We will. Thank you very much, Simon.
Thank you.
And that was episode 100 of the China Flexpat podcast, this time recorded live on a conference together with Simon. My name is Francis, and I started this podcast back in 2020 together with Patrick, and so much has happened since then. I am really glad that you support us, that you keep tuning in, and if you want to help us even more, please take a screenshot of your podcast app, send it to your friend, What did you learn today and why is it relevant for a career in China? If there's anything else we can help you with, please reach out to us on LinkedIn, follow our LinkedIn channel, and maybe there is somebody you think about who can be a good speaker for our next episode. In any way, I want to thank you for your support and see you next time. 谢谢, 再见.